You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. With more than 30 weekly podcasts, HRN has something for every food lover. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new series on Heritage Radio Network called The Culinary Call Sheet, where we give a peek into the back kitchen of culinary media. I'm your host, April Jones.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Bresnitz. Part of why we started this show was to offer an unofficial mentorship for anyone who is interested in learning about all aspects of food and video, whether that's TV, social media, online, or just something you want to do for fun.
Absolutely. What was once niche or a little silly, as I'm sure you remember, Darren, when we started out.
Yes, ma'am.
Has now become such a massive playing field for so many creatives using food as the medium.
It's something that has driven us professionally and personally for so many years. What excites me the most about this show is that we're going to sit down with some of the industry leaders to hear how they made it and what drew them into this industry.
With 20 years in the culinary production game ourselves, we're hoping we can give, through these conversations, an insider's view into personal stories from the field, as well as an in-depth behind-the-scenes look into some of the most popular food programming in today's evolving culinary media landscape.
We'll be covering everything from how to style your food, to how to license IP, to developing your own ideas, and some tips from the masters of how to host your own show.
Yeah, it's a little bit of conversation, how to, and how do you do the things that you do in culinary media, which I'm so excited about. I love so many of the guests that are coming on this season. We have talent from Food Network, from Bice Media, Eater, Refinery 29.
We've met some of the best people in the world, both in front of and behind the camera. And we're bringing them all together to share their stories, their delicious adventure, and their unique journey into this crazy world.
So to be the first to hear our episodes when they launch this fall, go to wherever podcasts are streaming and hit subscribe. And make sure to give us a follow at The Culinary Call Sheet on Instagram.
I'm Lou Bank.
I am Chapariwan.
And this is Agave Road Trip, the Heritage Radio Network podcast that helps Gringex bartenders better understand agave, agave spirits, and rural Mexico.
And today I have no idea what the hell we're going to talk about.
We're going to talk about agave spirits, Chava.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not mezcal. Not ricea, not tequila, agave spirits.
Sure can. Oh, what? Okay. I got this. Oh, yeah, yeah. I know what we're going to talk, I think. And this is a Lou Banks scribble. So we are not talking about any DO.
Well, it's yes and no. In fact, we're talking about every DO. So, you know, I catch a lot of grief for a lot of things. But one of the things that I catch grief for is using the phrase agave spirits instead of mezcal.
Where exactly you get this pushback? Is it in real life, or it's usually when you are in front of your computer late at night typing stuff?
Chava.
You've never up late at night.
Thank you for not making me have to say that.
It
tends to be online. It's interesting. I very, very rarely get the question in person. But I get the pushback online relatively frequently, where people find it disrespectful that I'm not using the word mezcal to describe agave spirits that are made by women and men who come from the cultural heritage of mezcal.
Do you think that the argument is that it's sort of an act of, quote, I hate this word, by the way, quote unquote, resistance to use the word mezcal to refer to something that was not certified as mezcal, even if it deserves to be certified as mezcal?
Wait, I lost the beginning of that.
Well, that you know, it's almost a resistance act to say, you know, the government or the certifying bodies are not calling this mezcal,
mm-hmm.
even if traditionally they've been using that word to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, F the government and the certifying bodies.
I
will use the word that they traditionally been using.
Well, I'm certain that's a large piece of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like the pushback is, if Lalo, this is literally something that was just on Facebook a few weeks ago, if Lalo uses the word mezcal to describe his agave spirits, then isn't it disrespectful for me, Lou, to not use that word? And, you know, truthfully, like, I would agree with that if I'm having a conversation with Lalo about his spirits. If I am in Santa Catarina Minas and I am talking to Lalo and he says mezcal, I'm not going to correct him, and I'm certainly
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. What word did you just use? Can I see the hologram on your tongue?
and more to the point, I'm certainly, like, even if it's in response to him, not only am I not going to correct him, when I go and visit Lalo, I'm going to say, "Hey, could I taste some mezcal?" Cuz that's the word that he uses. And this is his environment,
okay,
right? And I fully respect the fact that Lalo deserves that word more than Zignum does.
But, okay.
Okay, but the truth of it is, when I'm in Chicago, the vast majority of people don't understand what the hell mezcal and tequila and agave spirits, the difference. The vast majority of people in Chicago don't understand that bourbon is a whiskey and that scotch is a whiskey. This stuff is confusing, and they've got other things to think about. They got to worry about the house payment. They got to worry about getting the kids to school. They got to worry about getting the crust off their grilled cheese sandwich. They got 6 million things to worry about, or 400.
Yeah. So.
So. My point is simply this, right? The Mexican government stole the word mezcal from the people.
Oh, language, Lou. Steal. Come on.
They did.
They didn't steal it. They
appropriated it?
They institutionalized it.
No, they took it away. That literally, it's stealing. When they say Lalo, and this is literally the case, when they say Lalo, what you're doing isn't mezcal. You cannot use that word commercially. That, to me, is cultural theft.
Okay.
Right. And so in doing so, what comes over, like, there's this, you visit Lalo in Santa Catarina Minas and you have this beautiful feeling. And how could you not? The way that he has set up his palenque, the way that he has set up his farm, you've got this beautiful greenhouse, you've got these beautiful fields of agave. He's got the milpa in there. He's got his corn integrated into the agave with the squash. He's got all these beautiful cattle who are providing not only wonderful meat, but then also a fertilizer. It's this beautiful experience. And then he's using clay pots, stills. This beautiful experience, and people walk away from that and go, oh my God, mezcal is so special. And then they show up in Chicago and they go to Binney's liquor store and they see a bottle of something that says La Locura, and it doesn't say mezcal on it, but then they see Zignum and it does. And they start using that word in their minds to relate to that Zignum bottle. And that, to me, is a second kind of theft. And I've got, you know, I think I've been pretty clear. I got no problem with Zignum.
Yeah.
I think they're fine. My problem is, I think Lalo, more than Zignum, should be able to use that word mezcal. I think the people who own the word mezcal should look a lot more like you than they do like me. And right now, the vast majority of people who can legally use that word mezcal in commerce look like me, not you.
Yeah, they're very badly dressed. I fully agree with that. So, if I followed you correctly, the way that you're trying to prevent this is to say, okay, most of the things that are certified as mezcal and make it to the US of A are actually the kids that are most at least following a rule book because they have the money, the resources, the capacity to do this.
And they're geographically located in the right place.
All of those stuff. Yeah. But there is a significant portion of people that don't have any of these things, or are lacking some of these things, or they just maybe just want to keep the recipes of what they've been doing without having any NOC certifier coming around. And they who really built the reputation and, hate this word too, magic of mezcal are not allowed to benefit commercially from it. The other way around, they're being hindered in the gringo market by this bottle, because Yes, they're competing in the same battleground, in the same soccer field than the others. It's not illegitimate competition, but it's very close to that. That's what you're saying.
That is 100% what I'm saying. And, you know, you're saying gringo market, and I just want to put a fine point on that word gringo, which is not from here.
Correct. Because so it's a UK market, even Mexico City market.
That's exactly where I was headed. Gustavo's
market, Cancun market,
yeah.
Playa del Carmen, anywhere where these things are being sold.
That's exactly right.
To people that are not from the specific communities.
That's exactly right. So the idea that somehow I'm being disrespectful, you know, like, okay, you know, you can decide for yourself what is and isn't disrespectful. But in my eyes, I think, in the most ultimate way, respectful. And when I'm serving these spirits to people at the tastings that either I conduct alone or that you and I conduct together, I'm always explicit about that theft of cultural heritage. And I'm always explicit about, you know, don't assume if the bottle only says agave spirits that it's made in a beautiful
traditional way.
Right. But if it does say agave spirit and it doesn't say mezcal, definitely don't assume that it's something that's not worth your attention, because the vast majority of what I enjoy drinking the most, you know, and okay, it's my palate, but what I enjoy drinking the most and what I find tends to be most reflective of the communities where it comes from tends to not be certified as mezcal.
Yes, I would even go to the extreme of saying that at this time and day, some people actually see stuff certified as mezcal as a red flag. Like if they see
which I also think is wrong.
Yeah, exactly. But that, I guess I wanted to get to that. This by no means, I think, has to signify that there's a bunch of brands out there that use the word mezcal that are still amazing.
Amazing in terms of delicious, but then also in terms of reflecting the cultural heritage of the communities and the families that they come from.
And having amazing approaches to agricultural techniques, of having all the good stuff that we appreciate. It just happens that many of the ones that we would love for them to be called mezcal, it's not.
In my perfect world, anybody would be able to use the word mezcal for any agave spirit made anywhere. And you could have your DOs for Minero, right? So Lalo.
Mezcal de Santa Catarina Minas.
Yeah. And it's funny because now we're seeing this whole argument about the word sotal and how it's being used in Texas. And you get people very inflamed about the brands that are using words so tall outside of what Mexico has quote unquote established as a DO, right? And somehow the thought is, well, now Mexico is going to craft this DO that saves the families who make so tall and save the cultural heritage. And I'm sorry, we've not seen that so far.
Have you seen the DO of Charanda? For God's sake, the DO of Mexico. Yeah.
So, you know, there's sort of this upside down view of the two different words and how appellations may or may not protect cultural heritage or may not just be commercially driven. But I, you know, in my perfect world, if it's an agave spirit made anywhere, made in Australia, made in South Africa, you call it mezcal.
Yes, and then you get specific, and that makes people be more interested, be more prompt to do their research. It really honors the specificity and the diversity in the category.
It enables all of these families who now find themselves on the outside of the DO, who can't use it commercially, who can't use that word, and yet it's part of their cultural heritage, it gives the word back to them.
Love it. Okay, kid. Always a pleasure. Let's get the hell out of here. Adios.
Hasta pronto.
This has been Agave Road Trip, the podcast that helps gringo bartenders learn about agave spirits. Your hosts are Lou Bank and Chava Periban. Sound engineering by Roy Sierra. Theme song performed by Gabriel Oliveira and Mark Rico. Sign up to become a road tripper and listen to more episodes at agaveroadtrip.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please let us know. And if you hated it, recommend it to your enemies. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Lou is in charge of our social media, so if he happens to sound like an old man, forgive him. He is one. Agave Road Trip is a production of 10 Angry Pit Bulls, Inc.
Agave Road Trip is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Heritage Radio Network is food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. To subscribe to the Heritage Radio Network newsletter, enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with Heritage Radio Network on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find Heritage Radio Network at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. Heritage Radio Network couldn't do that without support from listeners like you. Become a part of the food world's most innovative community today. Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the Heritage Radio Network family by becoming a member. To become a member of the Heritage Radio Network, click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Heritage Radio Network can become addictive. Programming you hear on Heritage Radio Network can drive you to eat, drink, and listen to more programming on Heritage Radio Network. If it drives you to drink, please do not drink and drive. Drink responsibly. Eat responsibly too, and listen to Heritage Radio Network responsibly. To listen to Heritage Radio Network responsibly, wear protective earbuds. While wearing protective earbuds, do not drive or walk. Sit in a comfortable chair. If that comfortable chair has a hard seat, please remember to get up and stretch every 30 minutes. If you get up and stretch every 30 minutes, do not stretch beyond your abilities. Stay within your defined stretching capacity and consult a doctor who specializes in stretching. If you do not have a doctor, listen to all the shows on the Heritage Radio Network. There has to be at least one doctor among the Heritage Radio Network podcast hosts. Thanks for listening. Agave Road Trip out.